Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as part of Anthony Gormley's new artwork One and Other. The date today is the 15th of July 2009, and if I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
Yeah, my name's Andrew Ellaby. My date of birth is the 17th of February 1981, and I live in Manchester.
You live in Manchester?
Yes.
Are you from Manchester?
No, I originate from the northeast in Darlington.
And how are you doing today?
Really well, yeah. A bit warm, but good.
Good. And you're here today to take part in One Another.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about the project that made you apply and want to be part of it?
I studied art. I've been through a degree and a master's, so I'm really aware of Anthony Gormley's work. I grew up in the northeast, so Gateshead Angels, probably, you know, one of the most big, well, the biggest piece of public artwork at the time, and then living in Manchester and very close to Crosby, so the people looking out to the sea is also there. So it's just a real opportunity to kind of be a part of something important and interesting provided by somebody well known in the arts world.
And when you decided, when you got a place,
mm-hmm.
How difficult was it to decide what to do?
I wanted to begin with, I wanted just to do something really simple and something that represented my own art practice. So it was kind of involving an art practice within an art practice, and keep it really basic and do something very transient and easy and time-based, because this is the whole project is based on time. You know, it's 60 minutes, 100 days, so much, 2,400 people, it's all numbers. So something that fit with that. And then it all went the other way, and I thought it's too good an opportunity to kind of let it sit and be comfortable. So I came up with the whole idea of selling my time on the plinth as advertising space, which I pursued through eBay and set up websites and stuff, but that didn't work. nobody actually went for it. There was a lot of sort of ideas rolled into that, and it came down to the amount of money that each 10 minute slot was being sold for added up to the amount of average student debt which people accumulate over a certain amount of time. So it was quite a lot of money to buy a 10 minute slot for me to advertise. Not necessarily like a product, it could have been a person or a charity, you know, anything like that. But nobody bid on the eBay auctions, which I was kind of prepared for anyway, because obviously it's a lot of money and the idea was quite juvenile. You know, I didn't get a chance for it to grow properly because I didn't have enough time, and he gave it sort of a week and a half, last minute as usual. So yeah, I've gone back to doing something more that represents me as an artist, something very simple and time-based.
And is that, could you maybe tell us a bit about your work and how that fits in with your
Yeah, definitely. A lot of my work I do is based around the idea of time and memory. And it's also leans generally towards childhood memory and the way that that turns into adult memory and sort of the differences. So, you know, I do a lot of video work and photography work, which is sort of childhood practices, you know, like hide and seek, or one of them is where you'd sew your fingers together with kind of the needle and thread. You know, I don't know if you used to do it as a child, but, you know, lots of people, so it was just lots of things based around childhood activities, but then done in an adult context. So I'm going to be playing with a Rubik's Cube. I'm not playing, I want to solve the Rubik's Cube within an hour, ideally. I've never solved a Rubik's Cube before. It's a good opportunity to put an hour aside and give it a proper go.
Brilliant. And have you got a website?
I set up a website for the original concept, which was the selling sort of the space as advertising space, or promotional space, whatever you want to call it. I set up a Facebook and a Twitter. Nothing more technical, unfortunately, because I'm a dunce when it comes to computers. But yeah, I set up those two, so those were running, but nothing for this one. Just the update on my normal Facebook page.
Yeah. And have you got where have you exhibited work?
I've exhibited at the sort of the university shows and stuff. I've exhibited in Helsinki as part of a group exhibition. And then
what was that called?
God, I can't remember what the work was called. It was 4 years ago, so it was like a university swap. So they handpicked artists from different universities to go over there and play their work in the gallery within Helsinki. And I can't remember the name of the show, which is really terrible. It's on my CV. But since then, I've not really done a lot of artwork, because when I finished college or university, I moved to Spain for a while and worked there, and then I came back and picking it back up. So this is also a good way to get the ball rolling again, get my mind working again.
Yeah, great. And the thing about the students that you were talking about earlier, is that something that you feel, was that something you wanted to draw attention to or an issue?
Yeah, definitely. And it is, you know, in some ways I feel that the reason I don't practice art anymore is because when I'm at university you have all of the equipment provided for you, and you know, using film and photography, it's not like you can walk out of it and pick it up cheap. Mm-hmm. You have to have some, you know, background financial standing, and then I had to take out 2 bank loans to do my master's because I didn't get funded for it, so I, you know, I'm paying back so much money on those every month, which stops me putting money into resources. So that's why I've gone back to kind of simple, smaller interventions within the art world, so like really simple drawings with chalks and slate and things like that, and using objects that are already there and making sort of transitional pieces of work that are much easier come, easier go.
Brilliant. And who are you doing this for, would you say, taking part in this project?
This is for me. it's really outside of my comfort zone, you know. I'm used to being behind the camera when it comes to sort of photography and stuff, and this is changing the emphasis of who's doing the looking and stuff like that. So I'll probably be like knees shaking, head down, not looking at people. But then again, you never know, I might thrive and go the other way. But yeah, it's for me, it's just an interesting thing to be involved in, really. I'm not doing it for any charity or stuff, which would have been nice, but yeah, on this occasion, just for me.
And you've come from Manchester today.
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit more about your background, I suppose, a bit more about what it's like growing up in Manchester, Darling, you said. Just
yeah.
A bit more about your social.
Okay. I mean,
if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the Northeast, Darlington. It's quite a small place. There's not a lot happening. You know, you've got Newcastle, which is relatively close, which is an amazing city now, actually. When I was growing up, it was under real redevelopment, a bit like Liverpool's been through the capital of culture. But that was kind of finished after I left. So I came to Manchester, big culture shock, you know, lots of clubs, lots of art going on, really exciting, really interesting. And it's great for me because that's what I thrive on. You know, I love going and getting involved in all of the, like at the minute there's the Manchester International Festival, and there's great massive things like Queer Up North and really interesting art projects. And Manchester's like the second city, I'll probably get told off by other cities for this, but you know, the second artistic city of England after London, as far as I'm concerned, because most things gravitate there after London or originate there. You know, there's Swerve Records came from, and the massive Manchester music scene. So it's just a real creative hub. And it's a really interesting little city.
And have you got any
I'm sorry.
Any hopes or fears about going up on the Prince today?
Not really. I just hope that I don't get heckled too much, and I fear if I need the toilet halfway through. That's my main concerns at the minute. No, just to go up there and enjoy it and see Trafalgar Square from a point of view that not many people get to see it. I think that's, you know, one of the main fascinations of it. You know, look, instead of people looking up there at a statue, me looking down at them for a change.
Absolutely. Have you got anything you'd like to say about what's important to you, kind of in terms of your life at the moment? What matters to you, kind of?
Just seeing sort of new things and experiencing new things and getting involved in things, you know, like this. And there's like an Ian Rankin thing going around at the minute that I was trying to get involved in, and there was stuff at the Manchester International Festival trying to get involved in. So it's just, you know, trying to live for what I enjoy doing. Which is, you know, being involved in art, seeing artworks and music and theatre, you know, the whole sort of span of it, not just like fine art. You know, I really love theatre and gigs and stuff like that, so just really enjoying the time that I have, you know, between having to work 9 to 5 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you work?
I actually work for the Arts Council, which is part funding one another.
Brilliant. And how do you find working for the Arts Council?
I love it. I mean, it's such a worthwhile organisation. And when I left university, I fell into a management role and stopped doing art. And this allows me to combine both things to some degree, which is perfect. So it's, you know, a step in the right direction for me. And I just think, you know, there's a lot of people who'd like to give the Arts Council stick, but without it, there's so many important things that wouldn't happen across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And your outfit today, for what you're wearing on the plinth, does it have any significance?
No, I just came just as I dress every day.
Yeah.
I think when I wrote my original blurb for the plinth thing online, I just wrote, you know, I'm not showy, I'm not extravagant, I just want to go up there and be as true to myself as possible and just be a reflection of who I am without... Because if I go up there and wear something big or like put loads of makeup on, it'll just look obviously fake and people will see straight through it, so... I just thought polo neck jeans, trainers, that's all I need. Maybe some sunglasses if the weather comes out a bit.
Great. And yeah, I think that's everything.
Brilliant, thank you.
Brilliant, thank you.